Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today on this Saturday of the octave of Easter, we hear a continuation of, in the Acts of the Apostles, that episode when Peter and John cured the cripple and what happened after that. And in the Gospel, we hear Mark's account of Jesus' first appearances and how the apostles failed to believe still the testimony of those who had seen and testified to have seen Jesus, and Jesus' rebuke for their unbelief and his command to send to them to go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel. And these readings have a particular relevance to Christians today. We're living through here in a very tangible way in Indiana the battle for religious freedom and the right for a Christian to profess his faith and to also make practical decisions according to that faith. And authorities of the civil government and industry and just in the civilian life, secular world, who want to impose restrictions and say that you can't say that or you can't believe that or you can believe it, but you can't let that have any impact. It doesn't really matter what you believe. And this is similar to what Peter and John are experiencing here in this episode with the Sanhedrin and with the elders of the people who pretend, based on their human authority, to oppose the Word of God. And it's very important for us to reflect on this and see how it pertains to our situation today. Behind all of the present contestation of Christian culture lies, of course, the enemy of Christ. And the enemy of Christ, as we know, is the father of lies. And we have to learn to perceive the deception and lies of the father, to whom some men, knowingly or unknowingly, are beholden. Jesus spoke of the father of lies, and in the book of Revelation, there's a reference to the synagogue of Satan, and the reference to the synagogue of Satan comes from the messages to the churches, the one to Smyrna, and the one to the church in Philadelphia from the angel. So we know that there exists an anti-church, we could say, or a spirit of the Antichrist who moves men to oppose the true church of Jesus Christ. And we have to learn to perceive the lie. And the lie is this. The figurative church of Satan tells Christians that we have to keep silent and keep our opinion to ourselves. However, that's where the lie is, because it's not an opinion. It's the truth. And there's a difference between opinion and truth. And there's the Word of God and there's the Word of man. And Jesus is not only the Word of God, but he is God. And so what he says, we have no choice but to obey. There is only one name given by which men can be saved, and it's Jesus. And Peter, replying to the men of Israel who would silence them, says, "Whether it is right in the sight of God for us to obey you rather than God, you be the judges. It is impossible for us not to speak about what we have seen and heard." And then we have Jesus' own command that we heard today. Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. And the gospel, of course, is Jesus and his word and his teachings, which come to us through the church. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, let us take heart. Peter and John, who had such a shaky start after the resurrection, even today we hear that they didn't believe at first, until Jesus appeared to them and rebuked them, and then they believed. So they, the apostle on whom Jesus, on whose faith Jesus said, I will build my church, even he got off to a rocky start, off to a shaky start. But then he firmed up, and very quickly, and now he stands up to the leaders of the people and tells them, you judge, but we have to speak the truth about what we've seen and what we've heard. And our faith, brothers and sisters, is a knowledge. We haven't seen Jesus in the flesh like the apostles did. But unlike the apostles in this episode of the gospel, we do believe the testimony of those who have seen and have heard and who have gone into the whole world and preached the gospel. And we believe, and we are obligated by this faith, by our love for the truth and our love for Jesus Christ, to adhere to what he says and to proclaim it. And that includes the whole truth of everything that he taught through the church, and that he teaches through the church. He sent his Holy Spirit upon the church to teach them and remind them of everything as we will be hearing in the coming weeks and at Pentecost. And so with this faith, we have confidence that what the church teaches is true and that we have a right and an obligation to say it and to follow it, even if men moved by the father of lies fail to see it and wish to impose a human law above that of God, we're aware, and we mustn't allow ourselves to fall into the deception that can somehow be a reason for us to keep silent. The whole truth, I said, is what we have to proclaim. And of course, that's not just a one-issue political agenda, but it's the whole truth. If we say that God does not permit or bless in his plan for human life same-sex marriages, that is just one aspect of the truth. And while we have to proclaim it, we also proclaim the entire truth. God sent his Son into the world to save it. And men can be saved. And we wish for all men to be saved. So we have to speak the truth, but in charity. And the good news is not just that God has given us a law that implies certain restrictions to behavior. That's just a part of the truth. The whole truth is that law is a law of love. That law is a law for the good of all men and for the universal salvation of all. And so we oppose in our hearts and in our will any human attempt to obscure the truth. Jesus died for that truth, and so we're called to follow him. And of course, no one wishes to die, and we don't wish to die, and we don't wish anyone else to die, but live, to be converted and to live. And so, in this difficult time through which we're passing, we place everything in the hands of Our Lady, Mother of the Church, and Mother of Mercy, and ask her to obtain for us strength, courage, charity, and mercy for us and for all. Praise be Jesus and Mary.